life coaching and discovery. Inspiration with an invitation to learn from a change agent. Mark is passionate about you making positive changes in your life so that it becomes a vibrant, ongoing journey of growth and discovery. Now, here's your host, Mark Susnow.
Hey, hi, everybody. This is Mark Susnow, and every week I have a conversation with what I call cutting-edge thought leaders, people who are shaping our lives, people that have something to contribute, people that feel very, very inspired. And this week I have Lisa Garr on, who's the author of Becoming Aware, and I think she just checked in. Are you there, Lisa?
I did. Yes, I did. Yes. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
How are you?
Pretty good. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, privilege. And you're the author of Becoming Aware. So what did you become aware of that inspired you to write that book?
Wow, a lot. I became aware of my voice, basically. I had an accident, a mountain bike accident, where I had severe brain damage, and I fell off the top of the mountain while I was racing, and I cracked my helmet in several places, had to get airlifted out. It was a very tragic experience, but not really. Because
I'm a mountain biker. You kind of scare me.
Oh, you are? Okay, so you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love mountain biking. I still ride. But that particular experience was a combination of severe dehydration and in the middle of, it was 108 degrees and it was the middle of a very intense race. And it was right before it was over. And I lost consciousness while I was on the bike right before a long descent. So I was on the top of the hill. Mm-hmm. And so I tumbled down this hill not realizing that I had cracked my helmet in so many places and the helmet flew off and I was so delusional. But what I did is I just wound up, rather than trying to climb up and trying to get on my bike, which is what my body wanted to do, it finally gave up and I must have just passed out and slipped into this incredible stream of consciousness. I mean, it was amazing. I lost all the pain in my body, went away, all of the sensation of struggle, and I just went into this incredibly blissful state of vast expansiveness. I mean, more than it's almost, you know, when you get into an airplane and it's raining and then you go up above the clouds and the sun is setting and it's absolutely beautiful and you realize there's a whole other realm above where you are in that kind of gloomy state. That's what this was like. It was like going up into above the clouds, but it was so clear and so crystal clear to be able to see the most important part of the essence of all of it was seamlessness. Everything was connected. There was no divisions or separations or boundaries between anything. It was just, I was the clouds, I was the tree, I was whatever it was that was around.
You were the all.
Awareness. Yes, yes. It was such an incredible, incredible experience. And then I started to feel these feelings of and thoughts of others. And then all of a sudden there were medics around my body. And I didn't care about them being around, you know, I didn't even notice that my body was in so much turmoil. I just noticed them and their feelings, and I started to feel their types of yearnings and their desires of what they liked to do, what they were missing in their life, what they were yearning for, like that deep soul feeling. And I noticed their consciousness was enwrapped in mine as they were helping my body. It wasn't their thoughts, it was their soul's desire. That was what was so interesting, because one would think, oh, take care of this person, this accident, get her. And there was a helicopter that came to lift my body out because I was
Where was this?
This was in Lake Castaic, California. It was California State Championship mountain bike race. Race. And
how old were you at the time?
This was in 99.
Uh-huh.
And so it was about 15, 16 years ago. But I remember it so clearly.
I'm just curious what was, you know, it sounds like when the title of your book, Becoming Aware, is that, you know, it sounds like you weren't aware of how you, before the accident happened, of how you were losing consciousness and you're dehydrated, that you weren't really aware of what your body needed.
Right.
On one level, anyway.
Absolutely. And it was such extreme conditions, too. There were several people that wound up in the hospital after that race just because of the... It was 27 miles of a mountain bike race, which isn't long, but it was over 5,000 feet of climbing. It was extreme conditions. And I wasn't listening to my body or anything else in my life before that, honestly, Mark. I was in that unconscious, climbing to the top of the corporate ladder, destroying relationship after relationship, living in the effect of my past. And I was at the effect of my life, the effect of my life, rather than affecting my life. And that was exactly where God and the universe did not want me to be. And this was my wake-up call. But it was times a zillion, because I not only got a taste of what real consciousness is and got the perspective on how small I was living, and in such a tiny little container, I had this perspective of seeing my body so small, and that was so significant to me because I realized how small I was living with these blinders on, not even recognizing the expansiveness that we are as human beings. And that's one of the deepest perspectives I would love to share with people, and that I'm attempting to at this moment here. It's really
okay. I want to hear about it.
Yeah, that exists, and that we do tend to live with blinders on, and that this incredible vastness of who we are as human beings with our soul, our unlimited potential, truly, truly exists. I have been there. I have seen it. I have recognized it, and many, many people have as well. When they got that moment of bliss or euphoria or that high in life where they, you know, had that great experience happen. It could have been through an athletic event or that great relationship or that, you know, when they first met their soulmate. I mean, there could have been many instances in your life when you get out of the limited state of being and you go into that state of pure potentiality. And that's what they call it, the zone or the runner's high or whatever it's, you know, identified as. But it is a step away. It doesn't have to be through some type of momentous experience like an accident or something like that. Although that's what sometimes it takes to get us out of our locked and limited thinking. And so when I lost my, you know, as I learned when I got airlifted to the hospital and wound up with this damaged brain, along with it was my voice. My language center of my brain was also damaged. So I woke up in the hospital without the ability to speak. So everything at that moment went back into that choked feeling of, and it was very significant, of losing my voice, because I never had a voice before then. I never was told that my opinion mattered. I was never, I was always put into this kind of a very dominant mother, so it was what she wanted and how I, you know, she wanted me to be. And it was, you know, parents, as I am one now, understand how you want the best for your children, and I don't blame her for that at all. But I do see that, you know, she's a very strong woman, and to live under that was an experience for me of losing my opinion, losing my voice, losing my, you know, way. And this was all that, so it took a long time for that journey to come to fruition. It took a good 2 years for me to figure out what had happened, what coming to my voice was about, what that near-death experience was about. And how I figured it out was by interviewing people like Raymond Moody, who had interviewed thousands of people who had NDEs, and he explained my exact experience, and I thought I was the only one who would ever had that experience until I researched
right.
him and went, oh my God, there's thousands of people who have had this exact experience. You mean this is a phenomena? How did this happen? And
right.
so then I
what I'm curious about was
the brain
damage that you had. Does this prevent you from actually speaking initially, and then after a while you were able to speak, but you just were creating the voice of what you really wanted to say? Is that kind of
what happened? What I did was I actually had to go through neurofeedback and biofeedback training to reawaken
mm-hmm.
those parts of the brain. I went through an initial assessment, and the right prefrontal cortex of my brain was dormant. It was not sending a signal. They hook your brain up to electrodes, and then a signal gets sent to the program, the computer program. And there were two areas of my brain that did not send a signal at all. And that's how they assessed which parts they needed to work on, which I luckily found a brilliant man who was creating new protocols with neurofeedback at the time, this Dr. Barry Sturman, and he was really creating miracles with kids with autism and on the
mm-hmm.
spectrum.
What's
and
his name again?
Dr. Barry Sturman. He doesn't practice anymore because he just lectures around the world. He's a brilliant man. And he was really helping kids with, you know, seizures get rid
mm-hmm.
of them. And I was fortunate enough to find this man. And because I had at the time couldn't function, I spent hours and hours in this waiting room, you know, just letting these kids go ahead of me because their moms were getting their kids back. It was so incredible. And I would just wait for my turn, and it wouldn't matter because what I was seeing in the waiting room was beautiful. And so then when I would go in for my session, and this was 12 months of this training several times a week
mm-hmm.
of going in with minute differences in my brain. I mean, I made small incremental changes in my brain, but it finally wound up to the fact that I could speak again, and these exercises started to retrain the cortexes of my brain through just rebuilding neurons. It was exercises. Brainnastics is what I called it. It's just exercises of the brain, and again, you don't have to go through neurofeedback to do that. As I learned later, you can replicate those experiences through visualizations, and that's one of my biggest favorite things to do these days because you activate the mind as if the situation is happening through the mind's eye, through the occipital lobe, and you get through all of these same experiences of reawakening the cortexes and the neurons and firing them together and wiring together, as Dr. Joe Dispenza so beautifully teaches us, of how to reawaken the brain. And that's what I teach now, is finding your voice, getting your story out of you, and reawakening that vision inside of you through a daily small practice of visualization. It's easy. It's simple. I have the practices in my book that I actually take people, there are videos in my book that you can scan your phone through and go through the experiences with me because I'm a big fan of giving value to people that they can actually take away. You don't have to go through an accident. I definitely understand if you have been through one. And if you're in that state of still clouded and foggy thinking and lack of clarity and memory loss, I completely understand the underdiagnosed epidemic of the concussion that's walking around out there. I know that person. I was that person. But there are ways that you can get out of that and that you can claim your life back. And even if you haven't been through that experience and you're in kind of a numb state, there's ways that you can get out of that and claim your life back as well, and that's kind of what my book is about.
Great. So let's. I want to just put in a little plug here for your book. I want to remind our listeners they're listening to the Journey On Show, and I'm here with Lisa Garr, the author of Becoming Aware, and we were having a discussion about her history, how she got to this place in her life, and in her book, Becoming Aware, she talks a lot about visualizations. And I'd like to, you know, and I'm sure the listeners would, is how do you integrate visualizations into your life? Do you have like a practice you do, a regular time you
yes.
do this? Do you do a lot of writing? And I know in your materials you mentioned Creative Visualization, Shakti Gawain's book, which I read years ago, which I thought was a fabulous book. And
yes.
how do you go ahead and what's your strategy in terms of how people can a lot of people do visualizations, but then they say, well, you know, it's not really working for me. And how does that differ, say, from affirmations, or is it the same thing? That's kind of what I'm curious about, what your perspective is.
The visualizations for me, because of my history with the brain and understanding and actually going through the experience of rebuilding parts of my brain, I look at visualization differently. I look at it as a brain entrainment exercise. Yes, there's a lot of those out there, and you can get into the technology of that, but this is free and easy to do for your own self, and it's extremely powerful when you understand how it works. Simple visualization practices are just simply going into a theta state, just relaxing your body, and I take people through just these simple exercises of an elevator in consciousness. You can do this by yourself. You can imagine yourself stepping into an elevator or stepping on a cloud and going up and up and up into higher consciousness, higher brain thinking. Right now in the brain, what that starts to do is it starts to realign neurons, and they start to get stimulated and excited because there's something new happening, and they start to arrange into new bundles, and they start to stack together. So as you go higher and higher into this state of consciousness, I imagine passing by floors of negative thoughts, because we've been there before. We know what that's like. Mm-hmm. So just to go and rise above that. And then you come upon another floor of judgment. Been there, done that, rise above that. Because we all need to rise above our levels of judgment, self-judgment, and judgment of others, negative self-talk, and negative talk out loud. We need to rise above that because it does not serve our higher self at all. So once we get through that, and just simply, you can do this in the morning and just rise above, go to your highest level of thinking, where all of anything that doesn't serve you just drops down below you because it doesn't match the vibration you're at. And as it drops below you, you start to go higher and higher into your level of thinking, and then you step out into your floor of your dream realized, and that's where we spend the time of seeing and hearing and thinking and breathing and believing that dream realized as if it is happening and how you experience it as happening. So if finances is the goal and you realize, okay, I have now the figure in the bank that I need to feel comfortable, safe, and not have stress around money, free around money, mm-hmm. so that this isn't a worry in my life anymore, so that I can then go on, okay, so that's happened, that's there, that's done. What will I do now? How will my life be now? What will my quality of life be like now? Okay, well, I've paid off a couple of those bills, great, those got taken care of. But what's really important? What do I really want to do now that the money's in there and that the bills are paid? I really miss spending time with my loved one. I really miss having conversations that weren't full of stress. Well, what would that be like? And you go into that experience of what that would feel like, what you would do, how life would be different. And then when you're feeling comfortable in that moment, take a moment to look forward at all of the things that will be affected in your life as a result of you feeling this sense of freedom. What will you do to make a difference, to change other people's lives, to change your trajectory of your life, and then to impact future generations? You just go further and further and further into the future to see and find that meaning, the why, the reason why that change needed to occur. And you start going out of survival and into the realm of possibility. And when you really understand what's possible, looking back on just getting that bank account balance to change becomes less stressful, less significant, and then you start to find ways to do it. Okay, I just need to do this. I just need to get this job or this income or change this or maybe take on this extra thing and generate this extra income through this online thing. And, you know, you find things start to align and get clearer when you take the stress and the pressure and the survival off of them. And you do that by going far enough into the why and to the dream realized in order to see this a little bit clearer. Do you understand? And that whole visualization process is in the book. I actually put QR codes in there where you could scan your phone across, and it takes you to a video visualization process of this. experience. Wow. A couple
so
of them.
So how can, Lisa, how can people get your book?
Oh,
that's
it's
what
on Amazon.
Hey.
It's on Amazon. And there's also additional visualization processes that I've done online, which is can be found at theawareshow.com/guide, G-U-I-D-E. The Aware Show is the show that I do 5 days a week. It's my daily practice to learn how
and
to
where,
go to continue.
Where can people listen to The Aware Show?
The Aware Show is on several different platforms. I'm on Hay House Radio, and I also have a TV show on Gaim TV, and also on KPFK locally here in Los Angeles, and online as well. I do online summits as well. So it all can be tracked and found at theawareshow.com. And those also are archives are on there in the community site as well.
So people can get your book. They can listen to The Aware Show. And you're available also. I know you're a speaker. Is that right?
I have been
programs.
Since my book came out. Yes, since my book came out, I've been invited to speak at several places, which has been really fun. I mean, my whole experience has been on the radio, as you are here with me as well. And doing in-person speaking is so great because I actually get to see people. I've done radio for 15 years.
Yeah, no, it's fun. I love it.
Yeah.
I love to give talks.
You do, too.
Yeah, I've done it my whole life.
Your whole life. Yeah, I haven't. I've been just a radio person.
Yeah, no, it's fun. I mean, if you like to express yourself and to share yourself, radio and, you know, music and giving talks and just sharing your wisdom. What a lot of people say to me, I think the big challenge for a lot of people is that when something traumatic, just like in relationships, when somebody has somebody's in a lot of pain because of a relationship, sometimes they get in touch with this creative part of themselves that they were never in touch with before. And sometimes it's hard to find that place unless you've had those experiences. And when you've had a life-altering experience like you do, especially when you're in a coma, it definitely triggers something. And for a lot of people to reach that, challenge for a lot of people to reach that without having to be in a coma or to have life-threatening surgery or something like that. So
right.
What do you, and I know you say, hey, we can all experience this. Do you have like a regular meditation practice to help you get into this state?
I actually do it several times a day. So the fact that I'm able to tap into it very easily. So first thing in the morning, I'm always going into this state because right before you wake up, before the conscious mind and all of the things of the day to do, it starts to bombard the brain. You're in that beautiful twilight state, and you're still in that theta state. So that is a wonderful place to go right into. And I can actually get a lot of answers there. Sometimes if there's a question that I'm trying to figure out how to do something, I'll just say, okay, so how could I figure this out? And when you drift back into kind of the sleep state, your unconscious mind starts to unveil things to you. And it's become a daily practice, a morning practice for me, to listen to those thoughts, to really listen, because that's truth speaking to you. And it could be the divine, it could be your unconscious unraveling what's really right there in front of you. And that's a really important time for me. And I have a child and very busy mornings, so this has to happen within the moments before the kerfuffle happens in the morning.
Right.
I've always said, oh, I don't have time to meditate in the morning. Well, I have never had time to meditate in the morning. But there's right before you wake up, there's time.
Right.
So that's my very important time there.
Mm-hmm. So it might just be for a minute or two before your child wakes up?
It'll be about a 10-minute window. It will. Mm-hmm. It will be. Mm-hmm. I'll spend some time in the twilight there. It's right. And I've trained my brain now to be very conscious of the to-do list bombarding me. I hold that off, and I stay in that twilight state, and I ask questions. How do I figure this out? Please give me guidance for today. I would love to get to this place. And I stay with that long-term goal, and I am always thinking of that long-term goal first thing in the morning, because it does align your brain and your consciousness towards attracting the solutions around how to figure that long-term goal out. It's constantly in my mind. It's constantly in the back of my mind or the front of my mind, but it's constantly there. And as I go through my busy day, there are times where I'll set anchors for myself where there's little noise diets that I do during the day, and I'll just take a five-minute oasis, turn everything off, turn off the phone, step away from the computer, get off the phone, everything. Just spend 5 minutes, if it's just dropping into silence, letting go of all of the thoughts that don't serve me, all of the things and needs that have to happen and on me, demands on me, and I just let them all go for a moment, and I just drop back in, and just for a moment, so that you can hear. There's a lot of unresolved conversations that happen during the day and to things
all
that,
the time.
That you need to do, right? If you don't resolve that stuff in moments during the day, guess what? It happens all when you start to go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why sometimes people can't sleep and it wakes them up at night and the brain starts going, because you don't dump that out during the day. I just reset buttons during the day. Very frequently I do that. Get it out, drop a grounding cord down, let everything that isn't in alignment with you fall off, and then you start to just go back up in your frequency, back to your truth, and operate from that state again. Days get busy, demands get put on you, things happen, and there's a lot, you know, I'm late to something that, you know, frustrates me.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But I have to drop back into that place of, ah, where am I, who am I, you know, re-grounding.
Right.
It's really important.
Yeah. One of the things I do in the morning is I always ask myself a question. I go, I wonder what the highlight of my day is going to be. So I'm always in that question of wondering what the highlight of my day is going to be. And it just sets the tone for the whole day. Really does. It's amazing.
To look for the highlight?
Yeah, because a lot of time it's usually between two or three really great things.
Good.
So it kind of helps you create this expectation of good in terms of,
yes,
wow.
Yes, and you come up with several by the end of the day.
Yeah. That's your biggest decision, biggest choice. What was it today? Wow, there are three things that were all really great. And
great.
It just, I just find it just shifts your, the way you look at the day rather than thinking about
what went wrong.
Problem.
And, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And even those meetings you dread, you still are looking for the highlight. So you're rather than thinking what can go wrong, you're thinking about, well, I wonder what the highlight's going to be.
Right.
And it's
that
amazing
one,
what it, yeah, it's a great one.
One meeting could actually take your whole day down if it doesn't go well. And
exactly.
Yeah, it's your choice to turn that around.
Mm-hmm. I've been there.
Yes, we both have. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's been great having you on the show. I mean, time really goes by quickly. And
I talk to you all day.
I know.
That would be,
I know,
fun. You're a very uplifting person and inspiring.
Well, thank you. Well, I hope
very...
we can talk again.
Yes.
And,
wonderful.
Yeah. And that'd be awesome. And
you have such a comforting way about you. You really do. You feel like someone that you could just dialogue with all day and get nuggets out of. It's really nice to meet you.
I know. I'd like to do that.
Thank you.
I do.
Very good.
But it's taken me a while to get there.
Well, I understand, but it's you're there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And I'm going to read your book. I mean, I've read some of it already, yeah, that your publicist sent me, and I'm intrigued because I've done a lot of visualizations too. So I'm always curious because how somebody integrates it into their life.
It seems like
what
yours
their approach
is the same
is.
Thing. Yes, about inspiring possibility. I when I looked up your information, I thought, oh, good, you're really going to understand what it is that I went through, even though sometimes I'm still stumbling on explaining it to people because there's really not words for it. It's really an experience.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a description of this feeling of where the boundaries have, the boundaries are gone. Where you kind of merge the spaciousness, I kind of refer to as almost like emerging with another person, with another being, with your environment. And I've had that experience at times. And, you know, you never know when it's going to be. And what happens, I found, is when I start to think, oh, there's that experience again, then I lose it. Then I lose it because I'm I lose that quality because then I'm into boundaries again.
Yes,
set balance,
comes in,
right?
Yes, and it's, you know, it's true because most of the world does live with separation and seeing people as individual,
yeah,
and separate, and that's good for a certain sense because you don't want to go walk through your day blended with everyone,
right,
all the time because you won't get anything done or anywhere.
Exactly.
You definitely need to be practical within it. But there's moments where you can connect to that universal sense of consciousness, or even if it's with one person, and
mm-hmm,
when you finish that person's sentences, or when you really, you know, have that. I was just thinking that. So was I.
Right.
That's
right.
That experience. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Right. We're actually off the air now.
Fun. Oh, good. Good.
Yeah.
That was really cool. And your book is also, it's called
Dancing on the River, Navigating Life Changes.
Dancing on the River.
Yeah, and I'm working on a new one called The Soul of Uncertainty. That's what I'm working on now.
Good one.
And it's a fable.
Oh.
And I created Yeah, it's subject's uncertainty, but I just didn't want it to be another, you know, self-help book,
right.
Dancing on the River, you know, was kind of like that. But so I decided to create a fable around this person growing up who meets a wizard, modern-day wizard.
Ooh.
And so that's what I'm working on right now. I've actually
really
done a couple of drafts, and I'm just thinking about where to go from here, how to get it out there, and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I just saw someone speak on, now in the book, are there different characters that represent different parts of consciousness or different parts of ourselves or something like that?
Different parts of ourselves
yeah.
You know, and through them, for example, you know, there's like, say, about meditation. Instead of saying, well, this is, you know, instead of having like somebody talking to you about how to meditate, I create these characters where there's a dialogue about meditation. Or what I started to share, you know, on the show, like the highlight of the day. There's a dialogue about the highlight of the day. And, you know, or one of the characters, so, yeah, but what if there isn't a highlight? And you go, there always is a highlight. Or with meditation, what could I, in the coaching I do, I talk to a lot of people about, all the people I talked about getting into meditation, you know, first thing in the morning, they go, what if I'm not a morning person? What I hear a lot, right? And I go, well, you got to get up sometime, don't you? Even if it's 2 in the afternoon, do it then, you know?
So in the book,
I create character. Yeah. Or let's say with relationships, you know, like as a kid, he has these, you know, two friends. He gets sent away. And I'm just going to add a little bit where, you know, they're his two best friends, you know. So you kind of get into, at the time, they're his first two best friends, this idea of best friends. Then there's a thing about soulmates, you know, do you like, or enlightenment? Do you really, you know, what is it to be with a soulmate? What does that mean? Is there really such a thing or enlightenment? You know, like today, I mean, in my life, I don't think in terms of enlightenment. But when I was in my 20s, I did, in my 30s. Because
right.
that was the carrot, the hook that got me into meditation,
yes.
You know. Where today, at this time in my life, I'm just, you know, one day at a time.
Yes.
You
yes.
know, in terms
right.
of having more joy, more love, more vitality in each moment. And anyway, that's kind of how I've shifted in terms of my spiritual growth. It's not anymore about, you know, this mystical state. I'm into doing it now, you know, into every day, whatever it is, you know. Or like I have one scene where he goes to the swimming hole in Hawaii and he meets this long-haired Hawaiian guy and he goes, welcome to paradise. And then the character is going, is this, you know, am I in paradise? What is paradise? You know, this idea, this kind of, It's fun. I've never done fiction
paradise
before.
Is wherever you are in that moment. Yes, that could be paradise. And, you know, an ocean does help.
Yeah.
We associate paradise with an ocean.
Exactly.
Yes.
You know, so anyway, I'm having a good time with it because I used to write poetry when I was younger, a lot of poems.
Hmm.
But I mean, I have like a monthly newsletter that's, you know, personal growth, empowerment, that kind of stuff. And then I, you know, and the dancing on the river was my story about, you know, kind of like you, I almost drowned on the river when I was 13. And so I developed these eight principles of navigating change around this river. You know, it's a metaphor. The real experience, it becomes a metaphor for my life. And so in a way, it's somewhat, you know, it's creative, you know, creative nonfiction. But this other book where I started creating characters, and then I've been having a great time with it. You know, I have.
Fabulous. I mean, it sounds like a great idea, doing it as a fable and reading it that way. That's more fun. You're right.
It's more fun to do. Yeah, and I think it's more fun for the reader too.
True. Yeah, because I think you learn more through story. I think you are absolutely right with that.
And you remember more too.
Absolutely. There's definitely a lot of power in that. I have to go pick up my daughter, so I've got to run.
Okay. Well, listen. I'd love your support with the book. How do I get a hold of you if I want to?
You
get a blurb or something.
My email is lisa@theawareshow.com, and email me when you have the book ready, and then we'll get you on one of my shows. Is that okay?
Awesome. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Yeah, I'd like to, like, maybe if I can't get a blurb from you and, you know, something like that. Well, if you like, assuming you like the book, you know.
Oh, yeah, no, it sounds great. Sounds terrific.
Yeah.
And I, in that same sense of, I mean, I've done a lot of interviews, and you really have a wonderful, like, I could talk to you all day.
Wow. Thank
That's
you.
Really, really nice. Yes.
Likewise.
It's really nice. I just feel like you're an old friend for some reason. We must have known each other before. Very cool.
Could be. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because as time goes on, I feel like that what you're just saying is more of a common experience. I had John Bradshaw on my show.
Oh, I did. And, he's amazing. Yeah.
You know, this was about 6 months ago. He was on my show, and he called me before the show started. You know, he got the time wrong, and so we talked for 2 hours. You know,
and he said,
"I feel like we're kindred souls." You know, and I never met him before, but it was just cool to, you know, hear about him and his story. And he had a new book out called Post Romantic Stress Disorder.
Yes,
what do you
I
do after the honeymoon?
About it. Yeah, I did his work a long, long time ago. Like, I had a therapist who did his work, and I went through his program. It's incredible, talking to the pillow and beating the pillow. the inner child work, yeah. Fabulous.
Yeah. Are you familiar with the Hoffman process by chance? Have you heard of that?
Paul Hoffman?
No, the Hoffman process.
No, mm-mm.
Oh, yeah, okay. It's like a personal, like an 8-day residential thing. And, you know, a lot of people are, I just maybe you had, I don't know, you know, just threw it out there. And
no, I
it's
didn't
a lot of inner
that.
Child work.
Huh.
But you go away for like, you know, you go away for 8 days. And
you would have to.
You know, you'd have to. And you beat a pillow is what I'm getting at.
Oh, okay.
You're beating this pillow and it drives. I did the workshop. You're beating this pillow and I'm like, oh, no, I can't.
Beating. I mean, that is a very physical memory. Yes.
It is. And that was part of the idea to get these memories out, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. And, okay, and you know, anytime if you want to do another interview. Anytime you want to, you know, we can do it. I mean,
we
could
go
like
deeper, and I could shut up and let you talk more because I really
that's what I was hoping.
I'm so sorry. I really get excited, and my message just comes pouring through me. You know how that goes. But I do.
What I usually do is people call in a little bit before, you know, and I guess maybe I forgot to tell Donna to have you do that, and then I kind of say it's like a conversation, but it doesn't matter. I mean, the way I like to do it is to more have a conversation, you know, and because like we're doing now, I think it's more fun. To do what we're doing now, you know. But you know what?
This is how
you
my interviews
sometimes
are. Exactly.
You can't.
This is exactly how my interviews are. Just really fun, free-flowing conversation. But I have to get to my girl. I'm 10 minutes.
All right.
Minutes.
Okay.
So
I'll email.
So
I just send you a follow-up email so you have my contact. Just right now, Lisa at the aware show, theawareshow.com.
Correct. Yeah.
Lisa at the. Huh.
theawareshow.com.
The Aware Show, S-H-O-W. All right, perfect.
Yep.
Awesome.
Thank you. You have a
keep
great,
up the great
fantastic
work.
Day. You
keep
too.
Up the great
this
work.
Is a highlight of my day. Thank you.
Awesome. All right.
Take care.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Inspire Possibility Show with Mark Susnow. To learn more about Mark Susnow, go to inspirepossibility.com and click on the contact button. Schedule a complimentary visit with Mark or email him at mark@inspirepossibility.com. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine the possibilities. Imagine.